All week on 5 Live, we're exploring happiness. Tonight, we're offering you the chance to lie back on the psychologist's couch and analyse how we become happy, how the brain can make us happy, perhaps even how the brain makes us sad as well, and what we can do to make ourselves a little bit happier. According to the latest stats, the UK is only the 21st most happy nation in the world. However, you've been telling us what makes you happy today, so let's roll through some of these. Steve in York. Phil, good news today. I've just found out I have an interview for our assistant manager's vacancy, and after working there for 6 years as a volunteer, I know I don't stand the chance, but I can go and just be myself without getting flustered. So that's making Steve happy in York. John in Exeter. Evening, Phil. Today I'm happy because having reached 65 last week, it's taken over 5 weeks to get the DWP to tell me the correct amount of my pension. They will not pay me the correct amount until the 3rd of September. I will then be very happy, though, when that happens, says John. Pat in Milton Keynes. Tell you what made me happy today, Phil. Three of my grandchildren did very well in their GCSE exams, so congratulations to them. Baz in Dis had a savoury bread pudding for the first time, so I made my own one for a new lady friend who's coming around tomorrow. Wish you well with that, Baz. Keep us posted. Waking up on a weekday and not having to go to school so I can have a lie-in, says our next correspondent. That made me happy today. Jim, my grandson, getting pupil of the week in his nursery for using the toilet correctly. He's not even three till the end of September. Proud grandfather, says Jim. And Anthony in Plymouth just had a fantastic holiday in the Maldives, but returned tonight and had my first pint of real ale in over 2 weeks. You see, you can have all that sun and all that sand, but what you really want is a pint of real ale. So what's made you happy today or this evening? 85058 for yours, at BBC 5 Live on social media. What about the process of happiness? How does it work then? Avril Limon co-wrote the Dummies book on positive psychology and works with people to make them happier. How are you doing then? Are you happy?
I'm very happy. I'm always pretty happy.
How do you achieve that?
Well, I think there is a bit that is in your nature and your sort of psychological makeup right from the start, but that probably only accounts for maybe at the most 50%. But it does mean that some of us maybe find it easier to be happy than others. But what we found is that only about 10% of your happiness is down to your actual circumstances, which leaves maybe 40% up for grabs. It's what you do that makes you happy, and that's a lot about your attitude, your positivity for a start. But I was fascinated by those examples because what people talked about, and some of them talked about simple pleasures like cake.
Or having a lion.
Yes, having a lion. And those would work, you know, for a moment or two. If you had 10 pieces of cake, 15 pieces of cake, you wouldn't get any happier. It would soon wear off. Whereas the wonderful Polish protest, by giving blood, you get virtue, you get meaning, you get to do something for somebody else. I'm a blood donor, so I think that is a fantastically positive protest rather than, you know, removing your labour. But the other people calling in, they were proud of achievements, things that people had worked for. And that's really key, that actually we get happiness by working for stuff. People often think you get happiness by having stuff, you know, whether it's a new car or a new handbag or whatever. When it's fresh and brand new, it's fabulous, but it wears off. And what people talk about is a kind of hedonic treadmill. You have to keep getting more and more and bigger in the hope that it'll make you happy, when that's not what it's about.
So, but what you're talking about is it's almost disposition, isn't it? I mean, for example, if someone's listening to this and thinking, you know, I wish I was happier, but some days I just wake up and I'm tired or I'm grumpy and I can't account for it. I wish I could switch it off, but I can't. Yeah. How do you deal with that and what's causing that?
Well, as I say, I think a bit of it is your tendency and your personality. And really what, a little bit like there's a sort of theory of set range for weight, that you always just revert back to your set range of weight. And the same theory applies in this happiness, that not everybody may be really Pollyanna-ishly happy. It's about living in the upper ranges of your own capacity for happiness.
So do you think we all live on a happiness scale and we all have our own scale?
Yes. And it's about living as high up that as you can. And a lot of that is about choice. You know, you've got a choice to say everything's rubbish or to say what was great about today. And the people calling in, a lot of the things that were great about today, even the cake, was the fact that somebody cared about them enough to make them a cake. That relationship part of it is one of the big clues. And there's a mnemonic that's PERMA, and I can never remember what these things stand for, but I can with this one. It's about positivity. It's about engagement, relationships, meaning and accomplishment. And within that, there are all the keys to being happier. Now, there are plenty of people in really terrible circumstances, and I don't want to make this kind of happy, clappy, silly and superficial. It can be very tough. But at the same time, for all of us, even when we're going through bad things, look at the, you know, the funeral for Scylla. You know, people were laughing and feeling joyous and celebrating a life that had touched so many people. So even when we're sad, there's that capacity for joy and happiness as well. I think we're a bit scared in this country, happy. It does sound rather sort of indulgent and superficial, and dare I say it, if we're being sort of racist, a bit American. When actually what we're talking about is improving your well-being. Because all
that's
of this
a really interesting theory. Yeah. That are you saying it's linked to the stiff upper lip? You know, and how are you? Absolutely fine. Even if yes. you're not, is it that part of the British psyche? Are we a bit afraid to say, you know what? Actually, I'm really well at the moment. I'm great.
Oh yes, you've always got to complain, and you've got to complain about transport, and you've got to complain.
Frightful weather.
People often we all, you know, what else would we talk about if we didn't complain about the weather? Hang on, it'll change. You'll get a different one, you know, in the afternoon. Don't worry. But actually, I think we're a bit wary that looking for happiness is just self-indulgent and, as I say, a bit happy-clappy. When in fact, finding positive emotions, delighting in things, savouring in the moment, looking forward to things, they sound terribly simple. And in some way, they are actually terribly simple. And in some ways, they sound like what your granny might have told you. But there's a huge amount of research now has gone on to show that these quite simple aspects we've lost sight of because we think about the challenges and it's got to be difficult. And there's an almost puritanical resistance to the fact that maybe we should look after ourselves and look at what it is that makes us really enjoy it. Although I'm a clinical psychologist, I work a lot with leaders in companies, and you can just see people's jobs ought to make them happy. And it's not difficult to do that, but people often feel very frustrated in their work, often because they're not getting the chance to play to their strengths. They often don't even know what their strengths are. And the people who know what their strengths are and get to use them tend to be much happier. And much more content and engaged with the work they do. So there are plenty of simple things we can do that actually just raise that well-being, which is really very important because it has a huge impact on our health, but also on our success.
Well, let me try a couple of these by you then. Richard in Stourbridge, singing with my mates that got to sing in Stourbridge always makes me and all of us so happy. That sounds quite straightforward and simple. Yeah. Sinead, a super speedy 7 miles with my running club, the Redway Runners, has made me feel super happy this evening. Mm. Are those the kind of things you mean?
Yes, because those are active things. They are about accomplishing something. It's not necessarily about winning a gold medal. And there are plenty of people who think, well, if I can't win a gold medal, I'm not going to do it. If I can't be an opera singer, I won't do it. Rather than, I'll have the joy of this music, I'll have the joy of this group activity. And we know that having people in your life is a very powerful way to improve your happiness. We're really social animals, and people are really difficult and it causes pain as well. But it's still better to have them in your life, whether you're singing with them or running with them. Those are brilliant examples. I'm afraid sitting passively doing nothing, or I'm not going to say listening to the radio, because obviously you're doing other things while listening to the radio. But, you know, we know that just sitting passively watching television, there's a correlation.
Sitting
the more
passively
hours,
listening to the radio whilst filling out a Rajar diary is very life enriching, especially for me. We've got a treat for you as a clinical psychologist. We're going to introduce you now, Avril, to Michael Newby. Michael is described as the happiest man in Harrogate, which is also, coincidentally, the happiest place in Britain to live. So he's double happy. How are you, Michael?
I'm very happy. No, I'm delighted to be with you.
What qualifies you as the happiest man in Harrogate?
I suppose, I mean, I could quite say just the fact that I'm Harrogate born and bred and it's such a delightful place. I think it was, I actually served as mayor of Harrogate a year or so ago, and I have to say the facial muscles were the best worked muscles of in my body, I think, through that year, just enjoying doing things. And as I say, having been voted for the third year running, the happiest place to live in the country, it's, why should one be miserable when you've got news like that?
Would you say that you are, going back to what Avril was discussing with us, are you someone who has a naturally sunny disposition?
I think possibly I am, and it was interesting what she was saying about, you know, being involved and doing things. I might be to a fault getting involved, and I mean, in Harrogate there are plenty of opportunities, an incredible voluntary sector, you know, all sorts of people doing things and plenty of things to do. So I think it is, you don't have to sort of work too hard to achieve happiness. And when you live in a great environment, I think that also helps, that, you know, if everywhere is well maintained, you've got lovely flower beds and just the general atmosphere as you're going past, they think, oh, well, that's great. And it just gives you a little bit of a lift.
Actually, that's a really interesting point. Let me put that to Avril Limon, who co-wrote Dummy's book on positive psychology. How important is environment?
It's elements in the environment, yes, because I think the sort of the beauty, but it's also seeing the beauty in the environment, because people often walk with their heads down. They didn't notice there was even a tree, even in our, you know, London streets where I am. It's being aware of your community. Yes, if it's terribly run down.
But I mean more than that. I mean home environment, any kind of environment. Mm. For example, the hours I do, right, I need peace and quiet. Mm. If there's noise in the morning when I'm trying to sleep because I've been in bed late, I'm the grumpiest man on the planet. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's environment, isn't it?
Yes, and I think we have to create the environment and shift workers. It's particularly difficult, and that can impinge on your health and well-being as well, because you're out of sync and sleep is so important to general health. But I think in talking about Harrogate, you're talking about a very active sounding community, a lot of connectedness and lovely surroundings. And it's about taking delight in those things. Now, if you have challenging surroundings, as many people do, what can you do? And that might be escaping at times or seeing it differently or doing something to improve it yourself can all add to your happiness.
Well, I suppose that what I was trying to get at the question was how much of a factor. Like, for example, Michael's very happy and he's happy in Harrogate. But if I took Michael and put him somewhere else, would I be able to make his sunny disposition less sunny, or would he always see the brighter side?
I think if you are I know that if you're an optimistic and positive person, it almost doesn't matter where you're dropped. Right. You will find a way through that.
Is that right, Michael?
Yes, if I saw something that needed doing, I'd probably be out there with my gloves on or my sleeves rolled up. It's interesting, the part of Harrogate I live in a few years ago perhaps wasn't the best part, but one or two folk led off, so, right, we must do something about it. Mm. Now, a great in-bloom community, and that just seems to have involved everybody and people. If it's just taking responsibility for a display of flowers on the high street and watering it every week, it is that sort of simple sense of achievement.
So your happiness something comes from, if it's not right, I'll make it right, and you'll roll your sleeves up
I'll have a go. I think, you know, you don't just sort of sit back and feel miserable about it. Go out and try and do something to improve things.
Just briefly, both of you, because we're going to run out of time. What's made you happy today, specifically today? Michael first.
Blimey. Perhaps the opportunity to come in here and say how great a place Harrogate is. I think that's made me very happy.
That's you rebooked. Avril?
Spending time with cousins who are over from New Zealand, whom I love to bits.
Excellent. Thank you both for talking to us. Really interesting chat on happiness. Michael Newby, described as happiest man in Harrogate. And before that, our clinical psychologist, Avril Limon. And your text continues to come through to 85058. Sam in Swansea, I'm happy today because I've finally opened up to my family and friends that I'm gay. I've been keeping it in for years. Now that it's out, I feel so much happier in myself and know I have nothing to be ashamed of, says Sam in Swansea. Thank you for that text, 85058 for yours at BBC Five Live via social media.